From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is a new martial arts film with an art house sensibility. On today's Fresh Air, we talk with the director, Ang Lee. This is his first martial arts film. He's best known for such family dramas as Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, Sense and Sensibility, and The Ice Storm. And we'll meet one of the film's stars, Michelle Yeoh. She starred in many martial arts films, including Super Cop with Jackie Chan. She was also the heroine of the James Bond movie, Tomorrow Never Dies. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. Florida's Supreme Court has agreed to hear oral arguments in the appeal filed by Vice President Al Gore. Gore wants the court to overturn a trial judge's ruling yesterday that shot down his hopes of a hand recount. NPR's Melissa Block reports from Tallahassee.
The court will hear 1 hour of arguments Thursday morning at 10, 30 minutes per side. The justices have not formally taken the case. They want to hear from the lawyers on whether this case falls in the court's jurisdiction, as well as hear arguments on substance. The Gore team will have to convince the court that trial judge N. Sanders Sauls was wrong when he denied them a hand count of disputed ballots. Sauls said there was no reasonable probability that a recount would change the result, and he ruled the local election boards acted properly within their own discretion. Lawyers for the vice president have indicated the Florida Supreme Court represents their last legal gasp. Whoever wins in the Florida Supreme Court, said lawyer David Boies, will accept that. On another track, Florida's highest court has to rule on the case remanded by the U.S. Supreme Court, asking the Florida court to clarify its earlier ruling. Melissa Block, NPR News, Tallahassee.
Another aspect of the election dispute comes up in a Florida state court tomorrow. A voter lawsuit is asking the state to throw out thousands of absentee ballots in Seminole County, saying the ballots were invalid because Republican election workers improperly added voter identification numbers to absentee ballot applications. The suit alleges that more than 2,100 ballot applications were involved. The suit also claims that forms from Democrats were thrown out if they didn't have the numbers. The Gore campaign is not a party to the suit because it runs counter to Gore's argument that every vote must be counted. Six State Department employees face possible disciplinary action in the case of a missing laptop computer. NPR's Ted Clark reports.
The laptop contained highly classified data about weapons proliferation, and it disappeared last January from the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research. After an internal investigation, six employees were blamed for the security lapse and face a range of possible punishment from reprimand to termination of employment. They have the right to appeal. In a related action, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright transferred the number two official in the Bureau to a less prominent job. The top official in the Bureau, Stapleton Roy, has moved forward the date of his planned retirement from January to today. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher denied that Roy, a highly respected officer, is resigning early to protest the actions taken against his Bureau. Ted Clark, NPR News, Washington.
In stocks today, the Dow Industrials gained 338 points, or 3.2%, to close at 10,899. The Nasdaq gained 274 points. This is NPR News. Members of the Florida legislature are reconsidering the possibility of calling a special session to name a slate of Republican presidential electors. Leaders of both houses say they won't decide for another day or two whether to hold a special session. Representative Sandra Merman, the third-ranking Republican in the Florida House, says plans are on hold until members see how the state Supreme Court rules on election issues. Government figures released today show that gonorrhea rates are headed up again after more than two decades of decline. The infection can lead to infertility and health problems such as pelvic inflammatory disease. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Between 1975 and 1997, gonorrhea rates in the U.S. fell by 72%. But since then, there have been outbreaks in groups including gay and bisexual men. And the latest numbers suggest gonorrhea is increasing in the overall population. There were 360,000 gonorrhea cases last year, a 9% increase since 1997. Cases of chlamydia, the most common sexually transmitted disease, also were up slightly. But syphilis rates were at their lowest level since 1941. Officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the rise in gonorrhea may mean that people are becoming less vigilant about safety measures such as condom use, and that increases the risk of infection with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.
Former President Bush is recovering after a successful hip replacement operation this morning at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. The 76-year-old former president is expected to remain in the hospital for 5 days. The hip replacement is designed to relieve chronic pain caused by arthritis, injuries, or other problems. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Archer Daniels Midland Company, bringing NovaSoy brand isoflavones to consumers throughout the United States, on the web at admworld.com.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is a new martial arts film made by a director whose previous films have played art houses. The director is Ang Lee, who also made Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, Sense and Sensibility, and The Ice Storm. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is set in ancient China and blends Buddhist principles and martial arts. The fights defy the laws of gravity as the warriors climb walls, fly, and face off on treetop branches. The New York Times described Crouching Tiger as taking the genre to a whole new level. Entertainment Weekly calls it one of the best movies of the year. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon tells the story of an unruly, aristocratic teenage girl who's secretly a martial arts prodigy. She flees her arranged marriage to live a warrior's life, taking with her a stolen weapon, a beautiful jade sword. Two highly skilled warriors, played by Chow Yun-fat and Michelle Yeoh, try to recover the sword and save the girl. A little later, we'll speak with Michelle Yeoh, who has starred in many martial arts films. But first, we talk with the filmmaker Ang Lee. Much of the story in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon revolves around women, and some of the most spectacular fights in the movie are involving women. Why did you make women the center of the story and of the fighting?
Well, I love to do them, I guess. Well, it was in the book. I guess I'm not a macho guy myself. Over the years, I found doing especially strong women that really speak really for me. I found I really enjoy doing them. They're very affected to me, and I get attracted to those characters both in real life and in drama. So anytime I see that kind of a character, that attracts me right away.
The fight choreographer that you use in Crouching Tiger is Yuen Woping, who has done a lot of martial arts films, and he also did the choreography for The Matrix. Were there things that you asked him to do that he said to you, sorry, that's not possible?
A lot of soft stuff. Like soft weapons, things that tie with a rope, or weapons that would bend to hit around people. That kind of weapon he doesn't like, because it's very time consuming. With at the same time, with the hard weapons and sticks like that, you can do so much more, and there's a lot more collisions. Because usually collisions generate a lot of excitement. But I want to do the Wudang style, the sort of Tai Chi style. That's just too soft for him. So sometimes he said, that doesn't look good.
What is the Wudang style?
It used to be, believed, at least in movies, the Shaolin style is like a hard kind of style that's similar to karate and taekwondo. That's a lot of movies have seen that. The Wudang style is more soft, inner strength kind of style. It's hard to see. I'm more into that. And that doesn't always look good on film, so sometimes he will reject that. I think a lot of stuff I wanted to do, he would do it gradually, like too many wire works. That's time-consuming. He likes to fight on the ground.
Well, I'm going to stop you there. You say he likes to fight on the ground. You have scenes where characters basically fly from the ground onto a rooftop or, like, walk up a wall in the middle of a fight. Or fight on the tops of trees. I guess the choreographer, that would come into the category of what the choreographer didn't like to do.
No, he he's my hero since I was a film student. He made the movie that made Jackie Chan. He made the movie that made Jet Li. He's an all-time hero.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, he's just one of my great heroes. But he's not known for good wire work. He didn't like, he liked ground fight. He's not with styles and classic Chinese fighting stance. And he's also coming from Peking opera background. So he liked choreography, but when it's up air, people are up in the air, it's physics, it's something else.
So when they're up in the air, you're working with wires that suspend them and can pull them up, kind of like when Peter Pan flies across the theater.
Right, with cranes or posts or whatever you can hook the wires on.
Why did you want some of the fights to be in the air or to be on the top of trees?
It's airborne. It's metaphorically gravity-defying. In the drama, there's a lot of social restraints. I'm depicting repressed classic Chinese society with woman's story. I just think, on the other hand, when it gets to the fight, the exhilarating visual effects of flying in the air, which is a great tradition from the novels and the movie genre, I just feel like using them as metaphorically and cinematically a power. I think it's very effective to me. I just like to do it on the film.
Could you describe what was happening on the ground when two of your characters are having a fight on the treetops?
On the ground? Oh, what happened on the ground?
Yeah.
Some 20, 30 people pulling them from each every direction. Hours to set up. We, in the bamboo forest, was in the southern part of China. Bamboo forest the size of maybe Connecticut. And they're always in the valleys, the bamboo groves. So it's hard to find a road, which we did find one to park those 5-6 big construction cranes. So the wires were set up, cables and wires were set up there. According to what I see might happen on the bamboo, then they set it up, takes hours and hours, then trying out. Basically, a whole bunch of people pulling different cables and wires that are attached to the harness that hang the actors, and they just pull each in different directions and try to manipulate what might happen and according to the fighting and the bamboo suspense.
So
it's very light, bouncy kind of effort, but by a lot of people.
So it takes a lot of machinery and a lot of people and a lot of wires to make it seem that the two actors are defying the laws of gravity.
It's a sheer craftsmanship developing Hong Kong over the years.
Uh-huh.
There's a tacit understanding and coordination between the actors and the pullers, because the wire itself is much heavier than the actors, so they could only act according to the pulling strength they're given.
And then when the scene is completed, you like digitally erase the wire from the
yes,
screen image.
Yeah. Which is a pain in the neck because there's a lot of foregrounds for the bamboo leaves. Anything soft is difficult
mm-hmm.
to do.
Right.
And the cloth to erase the wires from the cloth. That's flapping. That's difficult.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ang Lee, and his new movie is called Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. In an interview with Time magazine, you said that you worked nonstop on that movie for 8 months and that you were miserable. You said, near the end, I could hardly breathe. I thought I was about to have a stroke. I'm resting now, trying to get fit again. But since I'm middle-aged, I'll probably never come back to normal. Now, this was in December of 1999.
This is all
true. How do you feel now?
I'm still adjusting, going back to my health. Actually, the worst time is when I came back doing the editing. That was the worst time, when I totally feel like the 70s, according to the early 70s. That was the backlash of the 60s. That's how it felt when it finally hits home. So my body was kind of malfunctioned. I was really depressed, but I was under a lot of pressure to get the full movie out for the Cannes Film Festival. And there's so many cutting to do, music and especially special effects, like 400 shots of them. It all jammed into that 4 or 5 months. So I was in terrible shape. I'm pretty much getting back, except there's still a little tendonitis on my feet.
What? Why tendonitis?
I don't know. It's kind of a body malfunction.
Did that connect to making the movie?
Yeah, it's funny. Tendonitis, I went to the doctor. When I came back, his first thing, he said, are you under long time of stress? I said, what's that? He said, oh, it has everything to do with stress. And also, I probably, for the location scouting, up and down the mountain too many times, and standing 16, 20 hours constantly, I think that all adds up. Plus, I'm middle-aged.
What's it like to say to yourself, I love making movies, this is my dream come true, I'm making this movie, and I'm miserable, I don't feel good, I'm exhausted. It's quite a contradiction. You know, that.
Well, it's exhilaration. Why people do free drop from the airplane, parachutes and climbing Himalayas or diving. I think it's romantic, like romance. It has a sort of destructive nature because you go all the way. But it's exhilarating. It just tests where you go and think your body takes certain tolls, but you know, it's a part of human nature, exploring, adventure.
Is the worst part when it's over and the adrenaline is gone and you're still left with the tendonitis
and
all the other problems?
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Ang Lee directed the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It opens nationally later this month. Coming up, we meet one of the film's stars, Michelle Yeoh, the star of many martial arts films. This is Fresh Air. Michelle Yeoh is one of the stars of the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She starred in many Asian martial arts films. She co-starred with Jackie Chan in Super Cop and was the heroine of the James Bond movie Tomorrow Never Dies. She grew up in Malaysia. In her fight sequences in Crouching Tiger, she defies gravity and flies. As director Ang Lee described, this required suspending her by wires. I asked her what it's like to work with wires.
Hard. Painful. Because basically what happens is you're in this corset. If you have a 24-inch waist, by the time you remove the corset, it would be down to 18 inches. Basically, you can't breathe. There is limited mobility, and you are not in total control. You have to work very hard to keep your back upright and your whole body looking very graceful. At the same time, there are 4 or 5 guys on the other end of the wire who's pulling you up and down. So you work with very, very subtle feelings of movement. When they pull, you have to know when to go with them, when you have to work against the wire and with the wires. So by the end of like a 15-minute session, you really need to come down because your legs get numb, you know, your ribs are hurting. And it's very hard work.
You say you have to work hard to keep your back upright, to keep your posture. Mm-hmm. You have beautiful posture, and I'm sure that has something to do with studying ballet when you were young.
Oh, absolutely. I totally give credit to that because it's given me that very graceful, very expansive kind of movement, which I have been able to incorporate it into my martial arts, whereby when you watch us fight, it's more balletic and lyrical rather than being very short and aggressive. It's explosive, but at the same time, it's that grace is very necessary. I think that is the major difference when you watch a woman fight and when you watch a man fight.
With that sense of grace?
Yes.
You studied ballet in England at the Royal Academy of Dance?
Mm-hmm.
But
I studied ballet since I was like 4 years old. I think I always wanted to be a ballerina. And when I went on to England, in fact, that was my dream to have my own ballet school back in Malaysia. And I did a degree in dance and minored in drama as well. But I didn't go on to that. I went on into acting instead.
No, I think you had an injury that made it necessary for you to give up dance.
That's right. I had a back injury while I was doing ballet. And that, instead of being able to pursue a professional side of ballet, I went back to college, university. And that's when I went to do choreography and contemporary and other things instead.
How is it possible to do all the fighting in martial arts films with whatever injury you sustained, yet not be able to do ballet?
I don't know. Actually, that's a very good question. No, when I was doing ballet, we used to dance from like 9 o'clock. You know, it was a full time course. So, and a lot of ballerinas, you will find that, you know, they put their body through absolute hell. I figure with an action movie, you only do it in short spurts of time, like, you know, for a couple of weeks and then you have a break. So you're not intensively banging the body in that way. I think my specialist, if he ever saw any of the films that I did, would be very shocked. Because he told me, you know, you can't do any of these strenuous things that's going to hurt your back. And if he saw me rolling off cars, you know, jumping off high buildings, and kicking around like that, I think he would be very, very taken aback.
Good point. Why don't you describe what was one of your most risky and strenuous stunts?
That would definitely be in Super Cop, a movie that I did with Jackie Chan. That's the big difference when you do a contemporary movie like Super Cop and then Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. In a contemporary film, you not only do arm-to-arm combat, but also stunts are much more important in that sense. And I think the craziest one that I ever did was to take a bike.
A motorcycle
and jump onto a moving train. And the worst is I learned how to ride a motorbike probably about 3 weeks prior to that. Today, if you ask me to ride a motorbike, I can go, but I don't know how to stop. I always jump off the bike.
Now let me say what you were doing in this stunt. You were driving, you know, from the ground on this motorcycle.
Yes, and up a ramp.
Up a ramp and on the roof of a moving train.
That's right.
And
yes.
The outtakes of this are at the end of Super Cop, at least they are on the video version. And
yes.
We see that the first time you tried it, you fell off the
bouncing.
Train. What
yes.
did you bounce onto? Not the concrete, I hope.
Oh, no. If it was the concrete, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
That's what I thought.
No, we have what happens is on the other side of the train, we line it with cardboard boxes. So if you are... when we used to do, I think at that time I was really very blessed in the sense that I was surrounded by lucky stars. Looking back at some of the stunts, especially in that film, I could have been so seriously hurt. When I bounced onto those cardboard boxes, I could have bounced 5 feet further away and I would have missed the cardboard boxes and landed on the tracks on the other side. So, you know, when I was dubbing that film, that was when I sort of went, what was I thinking at that time?
And you've had your share of injuries. For instance, you had a spinal injury in one of your martial arts film. What happened?
That's right. This was in the movie called The Story of a Stunt Woman. When we started off to do this film, it's directed by Anh Hoi. It's my tribute to the stunt people that I've worked with because, you know, they really are the unsung heroes. So we wanted to show a behind the scenes, and I was playing a stunt woman in this film, and I was doing one of these stunts where I was pushed off a highway bridge and was supposed to land onto a moving truck. We had done the wide shot, you know, where I jumped off at least about 60 feet onto the truck. And then we were doing up a medium shot, where it was only like 18-foot drop. But the push threw me off my balance. And instead of reacting to the push, I was thinking of the more dramatic side. So, and the fall was very fast and furious. So I landed on my head, and first I heard my neck just go, and then before I could do anything, my legs were coming from behind, and I folded backwards. And all I heard was like two planks of wood going like that. I think at that moment, Anne was in absolute shock. She couldn't move for the few minutes while they were trying to pick me up and send me to the hospital. But at that time, I think quite a few people were very concerned that I might could have broken my neck or my back.
What did you break?
I just fractured some ribs. I didn't break anything. I think this was years of training as a ballerina and a sports person, so I was very flexible, thank God for that.
Why do your own stunts? You know, in most American movies, the actors have stunt people to be their surrogate in scenes like the ones you've described.
When I first went into action films, actually it was my second movie that we did that, the reason being is like, the decision was to do or not to do, because in Hong Kong, you have people like, you know, Sammo Hung, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, and they were so established because they did their own stunts. The Asian audiences are spoiled in that sense that they know and they will only regard you as doing your job properly if you do your own stunts. And I think I had a bigger challenge to prove at that time because, you know, in the 80s, when I first went into action films, there had not been a female action star, so to speak. So we had to convince the audience, first of all, that a woman was capable of doing something like that. And the only way you could convince them was to show them, you know, without any doubling. And so that was the initial reason that I did that. And then afterwards, it's a sense of pride as well. It's a huge physical challenge and mental challenge to be able to be so focused and to execute some of these incredible, you know, stunts that the stunt coordinator has thought of. And after that, it's immensely rewarding when you see the effects, the finish cut. It's quite amazing because nobody can take it away from you, and you know that you've done it for yourself.
Michelle Yeoh stars in the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It opens nationally later this month. She'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Barnes & Noble, booksellers since 1873, online at barnesandnoble.com, AOL keyword BN, and from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. From Wilmington Trust, recognizing worth in individuals and in unique programs like Fresh Air. And from HarperCollins Children's Books and Joanna Kotler Books, publishers of Penelope Jane, A Fairy Tale, a picture book and CD package by Roseanne Cash. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, how to absorb the impact of a blow. We continue our conversation with martial arts film star Michelle Yeoh. She's starring in the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She worked opposite Jackie Chan in Super Cop.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Michelle Yeoh. She starred in many Asian martial arts films. She co-starred with Jackie Chan in Super Cop and was the heroine of the James Bond movie Tomorrow Never Dies. Her new film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, is a martial arts film with an art house sensibility. It's directed by Ang Lee, who also made Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, Sense and Sensibility, and The Ice Storm. Let's get back to ballet and martial arts. You studied ballet, then got into martial arts movies. We think of ballerinas as very strong, but at the same time very dainty and vulnerable, almost fragile looking. And martial arts is anything but, right?
Yes.
So are there expectations in ballet that are very different from martial arts? For instance, you have to use your body in very different ways when you're fighting than when you're dancing.
I think what... Ballerinas are amazing, I would say athletes in that way, because they make what they do so simple, so easy. Running around on your tiptoes like that is sheer pain, to be honest. You know, doing those split jumps and spinning in the air is just dedication and years of practice, to be honest. But ballet gives people that very sort of flowing, very smooth, non-aggressive. They are dynamic, but very non-aggressive kind of, you know, look. Whereas with martial arts, you're talking martial arts, when you perform that, especially in a film, it's about aggression. It is about violence. So how do we switch from one movement into the other one? Having studied ballet, what it really has taught me is a sense of coordination, picking up movements very quickly, and also being in control, knowing, you know, where your arms, your legs, you know, where is going what, and being very coordinated in that way and flexible. And also it's given me an immense a sense of grace in my movements, whereby, you know, my legs would go in a huge arc and has got that flow to it, and it's added to my martial arts in that way, because movements are much bigger for the screen than it is when you're actually practicing martial arts for real life. But when I started to do my first action film, I had to spend a lot of time learning how to direct the energy with balletic movements. Even though they are graceful, the speed of going out and coming in is very sharp and very precise. And it's very similar to what it is in martial arts as well, except, you know, the expression is much more aggressive, or the movements has a much more movement that comes from the waist and that translates to the shoulders, then finally to the fist. But then I was very lucky, because when I first started out doing martial arts, I had the cooperation of the stunt people in Hong Kong. I guess when they first started out, they were very curious to see, you know, this girl, she doesn't seem to realize what she's letting herself in for. And then when they found out that I could pick up movements that they were throwing at me, then they got more interested into teaching me how to focus and how to extend the punch that looks... There is full contact, I must tell you, when we fight.
There is?
Oh, yes.
How full? You'd be breaking each other's noses and jaws every day if there was complete contact.
No, when it comes to the faces, obviously, yes. Even sometimes when we kick the stunt double in the jaw, there is full contact. What we can do is, instead of wearing leather shoes, which is too hard, then we would sort of pad the top of the foot, or, you know, use... rubber shoes, so that it's softer. But when I smack them across the face or the neck, there is not a touch. There is the actual impact on it. And I have knocked out my stunt boys doing that before. So when we are fighting with each other, you know, when we're hitting each other on the arms or we're kicking each other on the around the body, there is impact. But when you fight with someone who is very experienced, they know on impact to absorb and know how to react to it.
Well, how do you absorb impact? Because I'm sure you're hit too, right?
You learn, this comes with experience, honestly. The first few times when I did it, it was just sheer taking the punches. And then after that, you learn that it's timing as well. And this is something that, you know, it doesn't come overnight. If you're lucky and you're working with someone whose rhythm is in sync with you, then it's much easier. If not, then, you know, both of you are just going, kung, 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 you know, just belting at each other the whole time. When you can, upon just the impact of it, and you move together with that punch or that kick, then you can absorb and take away, you know, the direct hit. But then when there is no hit, you as an audience will be able to see it very, very clearly.
This leads me to facial expressions. Now, ballet dancers, no matter what kind of pain they might be feeling on stage, have to have this kind of beautiful, kind of serene expression on their faces much of the time. I mean, not always, it depends on the role, but much of the time. What about the facial expression you're going for in a martial arts fight on screen?
The most important thing are your eyes. You know, when you are, it has to have that look. It doesn't mean that you have to grimace and think, you know, when I grimace, I'm going to look fierce. It's that intense focus on knowing what you are doing. In some of my earlier films, my directors used to love for me to go, you know, sort of that almost snarl just to project that I am coming over to punch your lights out. Whereas here in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, it was much more difficult to keep that almost zen-like look on your face and still having that very piercing, you know, I know where I'm going, I know how I'm going to outwit you in this fight. Because, you know, you're remembering all these very complicated movements. And at the same time, your eyes have to tell the audience what you are thinking. It is very hard. And then the rest of it is really your body language, is how you throw that punch. And a lot of the times, I think, especially for girls, when we throw a punch, it doesn't come from the waist. It comes from the hand. So
right,
this is something...
Right,
right. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And when that in a film looks wimpy. So it's learning all these movements that makes the whole package. It's your body language, it's the way you hold your body, it's your face, it's your eyes, it's every single thing that comes together and make you convincing.
Did you study martial arts in addition to understanding choreography and dance?
When I started doing action films, that was when I went into learning how to do martial arts. Prior to that, because, you know, as a kid, coming from a Chinese Malaysian family, the girls do ballet and piano and the boys do the martial arts. So I never had any training in martial arts except visual. And then afterwards, when I started my first film in Hong Kong, it was an action comedy movie, but I was playing the more stereotypical damsel in distress. And it was a movie with Sammo Hung. And I looked at this, yeah, he's a big guy, but the movements that he was doing choreographed, and it was like a beautiful dance piece in that way. And I thought to myself, I think it's possible for me to translate one kind of movement into another. So when I did my second movie, which was called Yes, Madam, where I played a Hong Kong police officer, that was when I started to learn martial arts.
Which form did you study?
At that time, you know, that was one thing that we were looking at, and we thought, instead of going for one particular style, which you don't use in a movie, except if it was a period piece where you would say, okay, in this film is Wing Chun, or this movie is about Shaolin, or this movie is more based on Tai Chi. With contemporary movie, it's about street fighting. It's about agility. It's especially with Hong Kong action films, it's more about, you know, it's almost acrobatic in that sense. So I learned directly from the stunt coordinators, I learned all the basic moves, which were the most important thing. Because when you walk onto a set, you don't know what are the movements that you're going to be doing for that fight sequence until 10, 15 minutes prior to it being shot. So, you know, you don't rehearse for 2 weeks and learn all the movements and then go and, you know, play it out on the set. They throw it at you if you're lucky, 15, 20 minutes before they're going to shoot that scene. So what you do is if you're, you have to be very cardiovascularly very fit. And then when you are armed with the basic fundamentals of martial arts, knowing all the kicks, knowing all the different punches, you know, your jumping kicks, your side kicks, and the most important thing, the different poses and posture and the movement, then you are pretty well sort of based to go into an action film in that way.
My guest is Michelle Yeoh. She's starring in the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which opens later this month. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. You're just joining us. My guest is Michelle Yeoh, and she stars in the new movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which is a kind of art film version of a martial arts movie. Michelle Yeoh has starred in a lot of Asian martial arts movies. She starred with Jackie Chan in Super Cop, and she starred in the James Bond movie Tomorrow Never Dies. What were some of the expectations your parents had of you as a daughter? What did they expect you to do when you grew up?
I think the very, especially with Chinese mothers, if their daughters are not married by the time they're 24, they're worried that, you know, she's going to be a spinster. And at that time, they always thought that I would finish, graduate from my ballet school, and then I would go back to Malaysia and start my own school in Malaysia, you know, teaching children ballet, which was something that I had always wanted to do. But fortunately for me, even though they were very traditional, my father had always believed in the fact that, you know, you are an independent person and you have to make the choices, because at the end of the day, you are the one who has to live with them. And I don't want you, you know, after 10 years or 5 years to turn around and say, look, Dad, you know, this is your fault because you didn't let me do this. So when I turned around to them and I said, I have been offered a film contract out in Hong Kong, their first reaction was like, okay, Hong Kong is not exactly round the corner from Ipoh, but if this is what you want to pursue, they had the confidence that, you know, I was old enough and wise enough to look after myself, so they gave me their blessings. But as a traditional parent, obviously, they're aim, I think, and goal is to see me happily settle down with family and kids and the normal life.
Well, you have not had the normal life, I think, by anybody's standards.
By any standards. I think I'm a great failure in that.
Now, you were crowned Miss Malaysia in 1983.
That's right.
What did you have to do for the title? Was there like a talent competition and a bathing suit competition like in Miss America pageants?
Oh, no, it's rather different because Malaysia is a Muslim country. So, you know, bathing suits and all that are all kept indoors in a room. And also the other thing is, unlike, for example, America or in Hong Kong, where beauty pageants have a link with TV or films, in Malaysia, it was really you had to be the ambassadress of your country, whereby I went on to London for the Miss World and, you know, learned a lot about charity work and all that. And then after that was a sort of a tourist ambassadress when I went to Australia as well. I think the best experience I had from that was really learning about my country, because at the age of about 15, I went over to England to study. So those years of my life were spent mainly in England, and I really didn't know that much about my own country. So prior being Miss Malaysia and being Miss Malaysia at that time, I spent a lot of time, you know, knowing about my own country, the cultures, the different cultures, and traveling within our place.
Michelle Yeoh is my guest. She stars in Ang Lee's new movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which is a kind of art film version of a martial arts movie. In your new movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The choreographer is Yuen Wo Ping, who is one of the famous Asian martial arts films choreographers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take one of those scenes where, you know, say like three people are coming at you at the same time and you disable them with a couple of kicks and jumps.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to rehearse that scene? Are you going to do it over and over again until everybody knows
yes.
what they're doing? And the first times you do it without really connecting just to make sure you've got more or less...
You're good.
Everybody
Have you done
place?
This before? You've got the
no.
right drift. That that is what happens. First of all, the stunt coordinators, you know, Yuen Wo Ping and his right hand men would work out and see what are the movements they think would look good for the camera or that situation. And then afterwards, what happens is the two leads will do it with each a stunt coordinator. So that, you know, it's not the two leads having it, working it out together. Because, you know, the stunt coordinators know exactly what they're doing. So then these two separate teams will come together. And then when I'm doing it with my co-lead, the one I'm fighting with, first of all, we do it slowly. We run through the movements that we know until we know exactly what we're doing. Without contact, with gentle contact. You know, just so we touch, we know. Okay, duck. Go under, kick, smack, bang, react. So this is what we do. So in your mind, that's practice, that's rehearsing. And then when we shoot, that's when we have to go into it. So prior to shooting, it's just going through the movements because you do not want to expend your energy as well. Remember when you're doing a shoot, for us, the normal shooting hours are 12 to 15 hours. And if you're doing an action sequence, you would be fighting the entire day. And every shot needs 110% from you. So when you're rehearsing, you try as best not to dispense that full energy. You do it halfway as you get more sort of used to the movements. And then because there is speed, you don't do it park, park, park. You know, you have to go tung, 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 tung. So it's that rhythm that happens during the shoot.
You know, sometimes even a good actor will forget a line and need to be prompted. If you forget a move, you're really sunk.
It is less dangerous when you're not using weapons. Because I tell you, when you're fighting arm-to-arm combat, the biggest mistake someone can do is like if you're supposed to be punching them across the face left to right and they suddenly blank out and they react right to left, that's when accidents happen. The biggest problem is when you use weapons, because when you hit at someone, It was like, for example, in this movie, it was very intimidating for the new girl because this was her first action film. And when I attack her, I don't have a smile on my face going, okay, watch out left, watch out right. I'm really going with that very intense and very fast movements. And at the beginning, of course, I too am worried that what if I make a mistake and I hit her on the wrong side, or she makes a mistake and she puts her head in the wrong way. Because at the end of these spears that we use, even though they are not sharpened, you know, to be cutting, it's still metal. And if I was to jab in there, she would be spewing blood all over the place. So there is that risk factor. That's why if you are fit and you are trained, your reaction, your reflexes are a lot faster. And also, when we fight, we don't react before the punch is thrown. We only react after the punch is thrown. So you literally watch where the punch is going. So in case that person goes the wrong way, you're not going to be the idiot that goes with it. So it's just practice and being very, very aware of yourself and who you are fighting with.
My guest is Michelle Yeoh. She's starring in the new film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Michelle Yeoh. She's starring in the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's a martial arts film with an art house sensibility. She's starred in many Asian martial arts films. In your new movie, Crouching Tiger, you tore a knee ligament during, I think, the early phase of the shooting.
Yes.
And you had some surgery, recovered for about 3 weeks, and then you were back in the film again. How did you manage to do that?
I think it was sheer discipline, gritting my teeth. I'd waited a year and a half to do Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon when Ang Lee first approached me after I just finished Tomorrow Never Dies. And he said to me, I want to do Sense and Sensibility with martial arts. And I, at that moment, said, yes, fine. And I'm a great admirer of his work, and I knew that working with Ang, I would be taken to another level. I would learn very much from him about acting, about our film business. So when that accident happened, it was in the first action sequence, actually the last night of that that big fight scene that we had. Fortunately, it was the last night. And fortunately, also, in this movie, right from the word go, I had only two fight sequences, one at the beginning and one at the end. So there was a big change around in the scheduling where they had to allocate that final sequence until the last 10 days. I was very, very fortunate to have the care and attention of Dr. Andy Kasgaria from Johns Hopkins and also the physiotherapist Diane Dallop over there in Baltimore, because without their looking after, I would not have been able to get back to the set. When we first discovered that, yes, there was, because I was in self-denial when I had the fall, and I thought, I just sprained my knee, you know, after 3 days, I will be fine, I'll be jumping, I'll be running. But you know, because when I turn right, my leg would go left, that something was not right. So I was there with Dr. Kasgaria. He did the MRI. I think he could see in my face that, you know, I wanted him to say, no, you're fine, don't worry, get back on your set. He had to give me the bad news, and following, I had to give the bad news to Ang. And from day one, Ang had always said to me, you are my warrior in this movie. And I knew how devastated he would be, and so was I. But he said the thing that really kept me going. He said, don't worry about it, you know, make sure your knee gets back into fit condition, because your health is the most important thing, and then we will wait for you. Because I would have been so devastated if he had, you know, to replace me and get someone else to do this part that I had been wanting to do for so long. So after surgery, Dr. Kasgaria had said to me, if I was willing to go into a very intense rehab program, you know, professional footballers go back into a professional game by the end of 3 months. So it was possible that I could do that, you know, barring there were no complications and I was willing to put up with the pain and aggravation and all that. So that was what I did, gritted my teeth and knew that I wanted to be back in China filming with my crew. So I spent 3 weeks out here doing rehab and then going back to China.
How's the knee now?
It's not 100%. I guess it will never be 100%, because, you know, I think also consciously, mentally, you always think, oh, there is an injury. So you're always more aware of it. It's coming along. I still have to do therapy for it. I think what happened was because, you know, I went straight back into that filming and also that last final action sequence, that the inflammation never really had a chance to go away completely, and we just kept aggravating it. But it's getting better.
Crouching Tiger really shows off your acting abilities as well as your fighting abilities. Do you have any inclination to get out of martial arts films and do more straight dramatic films?
No. I, you know, as an actress, I want the balance of being able to do both. I do love action films. And, you know, and this is where I've always worked so hard to get to, is where there should be a balance in an action film, whereby the dramatic element is just as important as the action. And Ang has proven to us very clearly in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, that it can be done, that the action doesn't need to overwhelm the dramatic, you know, the beauty about the emotional side, the stories that can be told. Personally, for myself, I've just started my own production company with partners, Media Asia in Hong Kong, and in fact, my first production will be an action adventure. So the question that you asked me, will I move away from action films? No, I really do enjoy making them. But then I will have the balance of doing non-action films because I do understand that the body needs a rest sometimes.
Right. Well, Michelle Yeoh, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry.
Michelle Yeoh stars in the new film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It opens in New York this Friday, in Los Angeles next week, and nationally on December 22nd. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Monique Nazareth, Amy Sallet, and Phyllis Myers, with Anne Maria Baldonado, Megan Howell, and Patty Leswing. Our researcher is Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross. We'll close with a track from Paul Simon's new CD, You're the One. We just recorded an interview, which will feature sometime in the next few days. This song is called Old.
The first time I heard Peggy Sue, I was 12 years old. Russians up in rocket ships and the war was cold. Now many wars have come and gone. Genocide still goes on. Buddy Holly still goes on. But his catalog was sold. First time I smoked, guess what? Paranoid. First time I earned satisfaction, I was young and unemployed. Down the decades, every year, summer leaves and my birthday's here. And all my friends stand up and cheer and say, man, you're old, getting old. You're old, you're getting old. Celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. And Buddha found Nirvana along the Lotus Way. About 1500 years ago, the messenger Muhammad spoke, and his wisdom like a river flowed through hills of gold. Wisdom is old, the Koran is old, the Bible is old, the greatest story ever told. Disagreements, work them out.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and from Random House Incorporated Bantam Books Division, publisher of Flags of Our Fathers by James Bradley with Ron Powers, the story of the men who raised the flag on Iwo Jima. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, a chronicle of everyday life in Belgrade during the bombing of Serbia and after the ouster of Milosevic. We talk with Serbian writer Jasmina Tešanović. Her journal has just been published. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.